Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the message this morning is the epistle reading from Ephesians 5, as it's been read, with one addition. I'd like you to hear the verse that immediately precedes the reading. St. Paul writes, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And then he goes on, of course, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife respects her husband." This is the text. Isn't it great when things run smoothly? Isn't it great when things run the way they were designed to work? I think of machines, the machines we depend on in our lives. How about our automobiles? It's great when you turn that key or you press the button and the engine starts and no funny noises coming from under the hood. In the old days, of course, and I have one at home, but the old mechanical watches that you had to wind up with the springs and so forth. Isn't it great when they work the way they're supposed to? So many things like that. Simple things like a can opener at home. You've got to get that can open and you put it in and you expect it to work. So many parts of our lives. Some of us are very involved either in our youth in playing sports or now watching sports on television, football, soccer, others. But when a team, when a baseball team all plays together as a team to advance to victory. In our world these days, we depend on computers and software. Isn't it great when the software doesn't have any bugs in it? And it works exactly the way it was designed so that we can use it for great success. Or musicians. When a group of musicians play together and everybody's on their right note and it all comes together in a beautiful sound. We could apply the term, if you think about it, we could apply the term harmonious to all of these situations and all of these things. In the creation that we read about in Genesis chapter 1, God created everything, and he created it just the way he wanted it, just the way he wanted everything to work. And he put all the pieces together in just the right way. This harmony was especially evident in the creation of the first man and woman and the establishment of marriage. Special care is taken. Everything worked out exactly the way that God had intended it. And do you know, I bet you do if you think about it, what were the very first human words spoken, recorded in the scripture? The very first word spoken by a human being in the Bible was Adam. When God had created Eve and brought her to him, and what did he say? "At last, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful affirmation of the work that God had done. And so when God, on the end of the sixth day, looked at everything he had made, and I think especially that creation of the first man and the first woman, he looked at it and he declared, "Behold, it is very good." What happened? How did it get messed up? The fall into sin came and everything fell apart. Maybe you've learned the word entropy. Entropy is the tendency of things that are orderly to go into disorder. Things that are working well to fall apart and go their own way. And that's what happened in the fall into sin. Everything that God had made fell into disorder. Holiness fell into sin. The perfection of marriage became a source of pain and distrust. I asked you, and you probably affirm, you remember Adam's very first words, the third words that Adam ever spoke, recorded in Scripture. God, the woman you gave me, no longer is she at last bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. God, the woman you gave me tempted me. She gave me to eat, and I sinned. The gentleman, just blame it on your wives, right? No. No. The first marriage, then, and all subsequent marriages are filled with hurt due to sin. The sin of Adam and Eve and the sin of all of their dependents have ruined the holy estate of marriage ever since. And so St. Paul seems to be putting up an impossible standard when he writes the words of our text today. Wives, be subordinate, just like before the fall. Husbands, love your wives as much as Christ loved the church. I had the chance, a delightful chance, I guess I didn't realize how delightful it was at the time, to be a teacher at the Lutheran High School. I taught there back in the 1970s, but when I came back as a pastor here to Baltimore, I was asked by the headmaster to come and fill in on some 10th grade sophomore religion classes. And we got to this text in our curriculum, and sophomores, these are 15, 16-year-old boys and girls, okay? So think about that for a minute. Can you remember that far back when you were 15 or 16? And so we would read this text together, and it says, wives, be subordinate. Now, the term there in Greek is a little bit more nuanced than that. Wives, be voluntarily subordinate. And that what that means is it's a reflective verb. You do it for yourself. You do it willingly. It's not a command. It's not a burden. You do it willingly. And so I asked the boys in the class, 15 to 16-year-old boys, okay, how many of you, when you're married one day, would like to have your wife who is subordinate in everything? Every hand raised up. No hesitation. Okay? And then, of course, we talked to the girls. And the thing we find out is when St. Paul writes by the Holy Spirit, husbands, exercise your headship by sacrificially loving your wives. You see, the word love is misused so many times, and it's used in different ways. Divine love is quite and qualitatively different than most of the things that we talk about when we say love. Love, in God's eyes, always includes sacrifice. Let me give you an example, okay? I see that you're hungry. I have two hamburgers. Here, you take one. Is that a good thing? Sure. Our moms and dads will be proud. They taught us to share, right? But that's not divine love. I see that you're hungry. I have two hamburgers. You have them both. I will be hungry in your place. That's divine love. And that is the sacrificial love that husbands are called upon in their married life. So that the husband always places the interest of his wife before his own. Always, in every circumstance, puts her as primary and first. And then after teaching that to our 15 and 16-year-old girls, then I asked them, how many of you one day would like to have a husband that always put you first? And every girl raised her hand. But see, that's what it means. That's what that kind of harmony that God had in mind meant. But the harmony of marriage had already been shattered. And St. Paul knew it. St. Paul knew it in his own life when in Romans he says, I know that no good thing lives in me, that is in my sinful flesh. For I can will to do what is good, and I cannot carry it out. But instead, the evil that I know I shouldn't do, that's what I keep on doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And that was St. Paul. That was the greatest apostle of all time. And if he could admit his own sinfulness, that original sin, then we also share in that. But the harmony that God had in mind for his world, the harmony that he had in mind for our relationship with him, the harmony that he had in mind for husbands and wives, was restored. Not by what we do, not by anything that we can strive to do. We don't get any credit for that restoration, but it is entirely what Jesus has done. St. Paul reminds his readers that it was Jesus who loved his bride, the church, so much that he gave up his life so that she could be forgiven, made holy without stain or wrinkle or any blemish. That's the good news in which we live. That's the gospel promise for sinful husbands like me and sinful wives in the world, just like us. Now that Jesus has taken upon himself the discord and the entropy which we have created in our world and in our marriages, and has died for the sins that husbands and wives daily commit against each other, we can live in hope. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can again live out our marriages in his divine harmony, wives being voluntarily subordinate to their husbands, and husbands sacrificially loving their wives. Well, good, that's done. Because I'm going to fail today. I'm going to mess it up again today. My wife is going to fail today too. Some of you know Debbie. We're sinners. We're not going to be able to do that. And then we have the opportunity to kneel together to hear God's absolution. And then stand again in his holiness and live out our lives. And live our lives together again in the love of divine harmony. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.